when I was a kid, one of my favorite shows on TV was Star Trek. And it didn't even matter what the series was. I loved it all. Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager. I even loved watching the old original reruns from the 60s with Kirk, Spock, McCoy, all the rest. And then after I went off to college, I pretty much stopped with Voyager since by that time I had some more important things to occupy my time. But at the time, I was a big fan. Actually, I'm a little embarrassed to say it, but I wasn't just a fan. I was an all-out Trekkie with the whole VHS movie collection and action figures and board games and the tech manuals, right? I was that kid, the kid who studied how transporters theoretically worked. My mom was even gracious enough to drive me and some of my friends to a few of those Star Trek conventions whenever they came to Little Rock. So I had the chance to meet William Shatner, Captain Kirk, Marina Sirtis, that would have been Counselor Troy, Denise Crosby, Tasha Yar, and probably a few others I can't really remember. But I tell you, I was a total geek. Now I'm probably a lot more cynical of shows like Star Trek and Star Wars and other science fiction genres. I'd say probably for several different reasons. But one of the things that has bothered me as I've gotten older, and especially since I've become a Christian, is all of the secular ethics and humanist ideology that's woven into the whole Star Trek universe. And I'm not going to go into all of that, but there's plenty to take issue with. But for the most part, looking back, I have good memories of watching the show, if for no other reason than it was an entertaining story. I'd say it was also a thought-provoking story that challenged me as a young person to think. For example, one of the things that got me thinking was the show's apparent critique and criticism of the idea of capitalism and free enterprise, in which wealth and progress are the right of private owners and citizens to pursue at their own risk and for their own reward. That all of that is considered to be obsolete by the morally superior and the socially evolved federation that's created this post-scarcity world in which you can just replicate whatever you need, and making the need for money no longer an issue. Or in the words of Captain Picard, he once made the statement, "The acquisition of wealth is no longer the driving force in our lives. We work to better ourselves and the rest of humanity." I'd say that statement probably reflects the view of most of the protagonist Starfleet heroes in the show. But then placed in contrast to that ideal standard, there are the societies not yet as evolved. They're the alien races that still have a long way to go, such as the ones depicted as the ultra-capitalists, the Ferengi, who are the big-eared, big-nosed caricature like a lot like the dwarves of Middle Earth that represent that classic Jewish money-loving, wealth-building stereotype. And if you've ever watched Star Trek and you see the Ferengi, they're the ones depicted as chasing after the almighty dollar or the almighty bar of gold-pressed latinum. They're also the ones depicted as disparaging of women, especially in the workforce, and ruled by this antiquated list of 285 commandments, or what they call rules of acquisition, directing them in how to achieve the goal of their greed and their self-interests. Again, I've read how that's an apparent parody of Judaism and the 613 commands of the Torah and the Bible's alleged racial elitism and male chauvinism. I do think it's interesting how they see a crossover between capitalism and Judeo-Christian beliefs, but I also think that their caricature is totally unfair. Granted, if a caricature is meant to be an exaggeration of how things are in their extreme, I could admit to you that there is probably a very real danger and tendency for the capitalist or the Bible-toting churchgoer to become a lot like the Ferengi. But listen, like the Pharisees in the Bible or the tycoons on Wall Street, while we do have to be careful not to become radical versions of that, I think there is plenty to admire. There's plenty to admire in the fundamentals that such groups live by. Even the loathed Ferengi, I personally have found a lot of admiration for. Of course, you've got to peel back plenty of layers to get there and discard all the ways they get it wrong. But foundationally, I'm actually a Ferengi at heart. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm on board with the whole idea of personal responsibility and taking risk and making a living for yourself in the universe. I don't buy into the socialist thinking of the Federation that places the expectation on the whole society to put food on my table. No, in fact, I place the expectation on my own shoulders to put food on my table. Sure, yes, there's got to be some mutual dependence on society, but that can't be a total dependence on society. Personal responsibility is a really good thing. And so, you know what? I have found that I actually hold more respect for characters like Quark, who is the Ferengi bartender on Deep Space Nine, who manages his own accounts and serves actual food to his customers, more than I have respect for all the lemmings and matching uniforms who are stuck eating artificial food and who have to rely on Chief O'Brien to keep the replicator going. I'm a fan of self-reliance, which Quark represents. I also happen to have a lot of respect for the Ferengi idea that husbands and fathers are naturally positioned to provide for their families, and that wives and mothers are naturally positioned to nurture their families and to manage the home. Again, thinking of this Quark character, I think it's great that he is committed to supporting his mother back home with the proceeds that he makes from his business. That happens to be one of the subplots of the show. Quark loves his he loves his Moogie, as he calls his mom, and would rather he work than her have to work so that she can focus on the home. Now, obviously, I am totally against the extreme of that, where women are denied the right to work altogether, and are viewed simply as men's servants, both in the kitchen and the bedroom. I'm also equally opposed to the idea that men have no place on the domestic side either, with helping with the kids or helping in the kitchen or wherever it is. I'm not talking about extremes there. But I can tell you, I am a complementarian in regard to my belief that men and women are different and are gifted in different ways and are responsible to differing degrees. Again, that's not to say our ladies shouldn't be working, but it is to say that I think our guys should be working all the more, should be wearing the pants, should be rolling up their sleeves and getting to work as the primary breadwinner in their families. Whether that's working for someone else or being self-employed, I think young men out there especially need to hear the call to leave their parents' basements, right? And to stop playing their Starship video games and to go out and make a living. Well, the other thing I'll say about my respect for the Ferengi characters like Quark is their commitment to a set of established values. If you watch the show, Quark is constantly quoting these rules of acquisition as a way of guiding all of his business decisions. The way he runs his bar is anything but careless. Rather, every strip of latinum is managed and every business opportunity is approached by a prescribed set of principles. He's always quoting these things. Here's some of my favorites. Rule of acquisition number 3. Never pay more for an acquisition than you have to. Rule number 8. Small print leads to large risk. Rule number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Isn't that the truth? Number 57. Good customers are as rare as latinum. Treasure them. I guess that's another way to say be good at customer service, right? Rule number 141, only fools pay retail. I love that. Rule number 194, it's always good business to know about new customers before they walk in the door. Absolutely. Rule number 214, never begin a negotiation on an empty stomach. Rule number 218, always know what you're buying. And on it goes for some 285 different rules. And I would say in the ones I listed, all of that sounds like some pretty good business advice. Now, granted, there are plenty of other rules of acquisitions the Ferengi have that I would say are entirely inappropriate. But you can see the benefit. My point is the benefit of living by a code of values. It makes decision-making a whole lot easier when you have something guiding you. I think every business owner would do well to have a list of core values that governs it, rather than just operating aimlessly in whatever industry. It's a good thing to have some direction. Personally, I think the Bible provides a wonderful set of values to live by. Just be sure you're following those as God intended and not some radical version of it. But having solid values is a good thing, especially in business. As someone who started his own small business with the homestead, I'll tell you, I am trying to be a good Ferengi. And by good, of course, I just mean respectable in how I take responsibility for my work, how my wife and I complement each other in that work, how we try to honor our own guiding principles in Scripture, in how we earn our living and how we treat our customers and how we steward our resources and keep an accounting of the books and all the rest. And in that way, I tip my hat to Quark, the bartender on Star Trek. And if I had the opportunity, I'd give him the gospel and show him that the real master to serve isn't latinum, but it's the Lord. And the real motive in business isn't greed, but it's to be gracious towards others. With all that said, I appreciate you watching this video, whether you're a Star Trek fan or not. Hopefully something here makes sense to you. And hopefully you can appreciate the point I'm trying to make. But I'll leave it at that and invite you to like and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already. And until next time, God bless and thanks for watching. Thank you.